Blog Talk Radio.
I was
out on the internet, and you know, I have brothers sending me emails and stuff, and we have a brother in Atlanta. I think they call him Guerrilla Israelite. But this brother had Passover at a strip club. And I was like, what? How do you justify that? So I had to go look this thing up. You know, got him on video, and he's saying, hey, I go to these clubs all the time. And I'm like, what? I go to these clubs all the time. And he said, you know, we couldn't get another venue, so these are the only places that are open. So we had the Passover here, and then after the Passover, you know, we had our party. And his brother's trying to justify doing this thing. And I was like, brother, why don't you just say you made a mistake, that you should have never went there? But, you know, the problem is the brother is he's frequenting these places all the time. And then saying that he's, you know, preaching the word of Yah to them. And I'm like, wow. So he wanted somebody to show him in the law where this was not allowed. And I read through the comments. Nobody showed him at all. You know, everybody was commenting, but they didn't show him any scripture. So I had to comment and leave him the scripture in the law concerning what he was doing. And then bring him into the New Testament, because this is our people. We are killed for lack of knowledge. We are killed because we are just wicked. We're just wicked, you know, and somebody in the brother's congregation, you know, if nobody else, some of the women should have stood up and said, no, I'm not going there. You know, but then this brother he's going to use the excuse that the owner of the club said, well, hey, after a certain hour, you know, my people have to come in and you have to drink from our bar. And the way these women came dressed, I was like, how do you do that? How do you do that? How do you get that mentality that you would even take the Most High's people to a place like that? Have a so-called holy convocation in a place that's unclean. And so that's the way I approached the brother. But it just marveled me. And this spirit of lust, sex is very rampant right now. It always is, but it even seems so much so now. But let us move on. I just thought that who or what would go to a strip club for Passover? I mean, that is the ultimate. That is just straight up just disrespectful. It's satanic. And then to try to justify it is crazy. Anyway, let us get into our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand couple praise today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help us. in our spirit. We need your help. This world is wicked. It's wicked. It's wicked. It's wicked continually, Father. Hallelujah. We need your help to stay straight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Help us, God. Help us, Father. Hallelujah. Help your people. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Send me out the sisters to cover their heads, their brothers to uncover their heads. Let us turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to come together and to break bread and receive your word, Father. Father, we need you. We need you to come. We need you to protect us. We need you to guard our minds. We need you to uplift your people, Father. But truly, this world is going crazy, and our people are just going crazy, having no respect, none whatsoever. Father, come and be with us. We are prepared to place here for you, that you might come and that you might sup with us. Let it be you that is heard, and not Brother Miles. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Let us go to, I want to change this up today. Let us go to the book of Romans. No, let us go to the book of Jeremiah chapter 30. The book of Jeremiah chapter 30. And actually, brothers and sisters, let's do Jeremiah chapter 31, starting in verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 31, starting in verse 1. And at the same time, saith Yah, I will be the Elohim of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith Yah, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause them to rest. And Yah has appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant, and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the mount of Ephraim shall cry, Arise ye, and let us go up to Zion, unto Yah our Elohim. Excuse me. For thus saith Yah, Sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Yah, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, and the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return there. They shall come with weeping and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble, for I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of Yah, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. For Yah has redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of Yah, for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock, and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith Yah. Thus saith Yah, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Thus saith Yah, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith Yah, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith Yah, that thy children shall come again to their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus. Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art Yah, my Elohim. Surely after that I was turned, I repented. And after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yet even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy on him, upon him, saith Yah. Set thee up waymarks, make thee high heaps, set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O virgin of Israel. Turn again to these thy city. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For Yah has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Thus saith Yah of hosts, the Elohim of Israel. As yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. Yah bless thee, O habitation of justice, and mountains of holiness. And there shall dwell in Judah itself and in all the cities thereof together husbandmen, and they shall go forth with flocks. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awaked and beheld, and my sleep was sweet upon me, or unto me. Behold, the days cometh, saith Yah, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with seed of man and with the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith Yah. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days cometh, saith Yah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yah. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith Yah, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know Yah, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Yah, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith Yah, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when his waves thereof roar. Yah of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith Yah, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith Yah, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth search out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith Yah. Behold, the days cometh, saith Yah, that the city shall be built unto Yah from the tower of Hanel unto the gate of the corner. And the measuring line shall yet go forth over against it upon the hill Goreb, and shall compass about to Goth, and the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the isles, and all the fields unto the brook of Kidron, unto the corner of the horse gate toward the east, shall be holy unto Yah. It shall not be plucked up nor thrown down any more forever. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment, whether with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right. Let us I want to do something. There's a brother that I've been dealing with for probably about almost 10 years, trying to get this brother to come into the ministry. He is my brother in the word, faithful, and but he writes poems. And I helped him get one book published, but he's putting out another one, and I asked him for permission to, you know, read his poems to you guys as he sends them to me, because he sends them to me and then, you know, he asks my opinion on them. And the reason that I like this brother's poetry is that it reflects, number one, it is based upon scripture, but number two, it reflects the sign of the times that we, it's like he's documented it through his poetry. And the message, you know, the message is always, either to the world or to Israel. But I want to take this opportunity to read one of his poems to you. Pick one at random. Give me a hot second here. And I pray, you know, I've tried to get brothers to, you know, support this brother, to buy his book, because, you know, there's a good message in his poetry. Let me get the right place here. The sun is killing me still. Okay. And while I look for this, remember we have the new moon service coming up, and that's actually the 10th of April. So I want everybody to make sure that you have your we will be following the same order as the new moon. We won't be doing the Passover service, but we'll be doing the new moon like as the first one that we did. I'll resend out those instructions so that we are, you know, prepared. So that would be the 10th of April this month. And let's see. I'm going to read this one to you. This one is called Yah Has Other Plans, fairly short. And this brother's name is Craig L. Conrad. Yah has other plans. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it's the purpose of Yah that will stand, Proverbs 19 and 21. You had it made, or so you thought. The wind was at your back. Didn't see it coming. Stop dead in your tracks. Your future was looking oh so bright that you were wearing shades. But it all came to a crashing halt when suddenly whisked away. It arrived so unexpectedly. Death knocked upon your door. Took you by a complete surprise. This life you'd see no more. Vanished all those plans you had. Gone in a twinkling of an eye. And to make matters even worse, you had no dealings with the Most High. You thought tomorrow was promised to you. That is what was in your hands. Ignorant that the Father's will is not subject to your plan. Never gave it a second thought. Such a dreadful price to pay. To be so taken with the world, to let heaven slip away. The moral of the story is, presume nothing beforehand. For it could just so happen that Yah has other plans. Amen. All right. Love this brother and his writing. And I pray that, you know, we can hear this, that we don't put our plans before the Most High, because the Most High might have other plans for each and every one of us. We shouldn't be caught up in this world and planning, you know, that we guarantee tomorrow. So every time, you know, I think maybe on Tuesdays and maybe Thursdays, I will read one of his brothers, one of his poems to us as a congregation. And I would pray that as a congregation at some point that we would support this brother. He write, you know, his, I call him the wordsmith. He is very good and has practiced, you know, his craft. All right. Let us go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, starting in verse 1. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, starting in verse 1. And let me see if I can get away from this glare. Okay. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with the patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Yeshua, the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of Elohim. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. So we should never, looking at our Messiah and our King, we should take as an example what he went through and say, if he went through all that for us, surely we can endure what we're going through. Surely we can endure that. Let's continue. You have not resisted unto blood, you have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Now, I want to ask each one of you a question. I want you to answer it to yourself. But have any of us been hitting the head by a brick, or been slapped, or stabbed, or shot, or cut? For the gospel, have any of us shed any blood? Have we been tempted? Have we been pushed that far where it looks like our blood is going to cost us blood? I would probably have to say probably not for most of us. I mean, I don't think that it has come yet that somebody has threatened to draw blood from me. You know, whether to cut me or slap me or shoot me or do whatever for this gospel. So he's saying, you have not been, you have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of Yah, nor faint with thou a rebuke of him. For whom Yah loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receives. So we got to know that if we are messing up, Yah is going to what? Chasten us. He's going to correct us. And we are to take that happily, because if he doesn't, that means that maybe you're not loved by the Most High himself. Whom he loveth, he chastens. So when we are doing wrong or have done wrong and correction doesn't come, we ought to question that. We ought to be expecting to be what? Corrected. And expect it with joy. Because it means that the Father loves you. Can we hear that? Or do we be like, I'm glad I ain't got to go through nothing. I'm glad when I sin, all I got to do is say I'm sorry and it's all good. It may not be all good. Let's continue. If you endure chastening, Elohim dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? You know, your children, when you chasten them, when you, what I like to call discipline, when we did that series on discipline and we understand that discipline is not punishment. It's not punishment. If you are punishing somebody, you're not disciplining them. You are, punishment is designed to not correct you, but to hurt you. Discipline is designed to correct you. So it's not always, can't always look at it as a punishment. It might seem like punishment, but it's designed to get you to change your path, get you to look in a different direction so that your ways might be amended. And it says, who Yah chastens, he loves. So we want to make sure that we know if we're not walking upright, that when Yah chastens us, that we accept it. And we accept it with joy because that has to tell you that he loves you. If you're not getting any correction, because he, just like with Adam and Eve, the Most High could have destroyed Adam and Eve. And so when we look at their story, when we look at their story, and you have to look at what the Most High said to both of them and what correction he placed on both of them, then it was not to punish them. When he told the woman to submit to her husband, it was not to punish her. It was to correct what nature was in her. Submit yourselves. I created you equal, but you want to be over the man, so now submit yourself to him because equality is not good enough. So submit yourself. Let me correct this nature in you. And to the man, you had it easy and you got lazy and you would rather take the easy way out. And so you hearken to the voice of your wife. And because you did that, now the ground, now you got to labor hard and sweat. Before, you were just picking weeds. But now the ground is not going to give its fullness to you, and you got to work hard for it by the sweat of your brow. I need to correct this nature that's in you. That's discipline. And it deals with what is wrong with a person. It's not designed to punish them. It's chastening. Can we hear Elohim? So when he does things, when he chastens us, we need to really look and see what is the lesson that Yah is trying to teach us. All right, let's continue in this. Because our reference verse for this particular chapter, our reference verse is really going to be down in verse 25. But we're reading this for context. But if you be without chastening, whereof are all partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. What is a bastard? A bastard is a child with no father. And when he says, and if you don't accept, if you be not chastened, then he's not your father. And you don't have a spiritual father. As in him, you have not been begotten. That those are heavy words. So we want the Most High to, we want to be loved by him, and we want his chastisement, we want his correction, because it shows that he really does love us as individuals. Furthermore, verse 9, we have had fathers of our own flesh which corrected us and gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? You know, come on now, my kids did not come with a manual. And so there were some things I was making up. This was seemed good to me, you know, when I was raising them. Seemed like it was the right thing to do. Was everything the right thing and everything perfect? No. Some of these things I had to learn as I went. And so what I did for the first one, I might have done a little bit different for the second one, and even different, even more different for the third one as I learned. But our Heavenly Father, He knows what's best for us. Wouldn't you much rather have Him chastising you? If you reverence your father or your mother and you felt like they had the best thing, your best interest in, at heart, or maybe not, depends upon the family. Everybody wasn't meant to have children. Everybody that had children, as I said, none of them came with a manual. And then if we don't have, we're going by what we were raised by what we learned after we got grown, what we thought was right. And we did the best that we could. But the truth of the matter is, we should much rather get that correction from the Most High and have respect of it, have reverence of it. If you're going to reverence your parents for correcting you and you want to be reverenced by your kid for correcting them, surely we want to reverence the Most High and His correction of us. And it don't matter how old we get. Because, I'm still learning things today. And that old man can still be in there and rear his ugly head. And I want the Most High to chasten me if I get out of line. Don't just let me go off the deep end without correcting me. All right. For they verily, for a few days chastened us or corrected us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceful fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up hands which hang down and the feeble knee, and make a straight path for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So, what he says is up here in verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous. When when you're not getting chastised, you're not being corrected, you might think you're getting away with something. And you might be joyous, but that's only going to last a minute because it's going to catch up with you. But it's better to be corrected so that you can straighten out your path and walk in righteousness. And it's better to be that way. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see Yah. Now, this is a big verse, and I hope we can hear Yah in this. Follow after peace and pursue it. That's something that the children of the Most High have to do. You can get angry. He says, but get angry. Be angry, but don't sin. And your nature should be to seek peace in every situation. Sometimes that can be hard, especially when you're in a marriage and you both might be feeling that you're right and you get into them heated arguments. But then sooner or later, one of you or both need to submit one to another. In the world, we shouldn't be going after revenge. Most High said, vengeance is mine. If you, my child, and you are willing to receive chastisement, correction, one of the first orders is to, because your anger, your hurt, your vengeance might get you into more trouble than what you can get out of. And then you might sin in such a way that you can't come back from. You know, a lot of people get angry and in their anger hurt somebody, even take a life. And when you take a life like that, it's not a small thing. And if it's not, truly self-defense, because the scripture doesn't say thou shalt not kill. That's not what it says. It says thou shalt not murder. Murder means to take a life unjustly, without cause. You can defend yourself. And if somebody's threatening your life, you can defend yourself. But to the scripture says, thou shalt not murder. So you're not going around looking to do harm. If your nature is to seek peace in all situations, then that's what you should actually be doing. So he says, seek peace. There's another verse that says, seek peace and pursue it. That means to always be going after peace. All right, let's continue. Verse 14 again. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see Yah. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of Elohim, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, thereby many be defiled. Bitterness. That spirit, bitterness, causes people to do things, say things they ought not say and do. It causes them to act out when there really isn't really a cause to act out. But because they're bitter in the situation, anything that comes up, they're bitter toward it. And especially when it comes to friends and family, a lot of wounds cannot heal because of bitterness. So especially with family, sometimes you got to let bitterness go. You got to forgive. Not for their sake. If each person forgave and not for their sake, their own sake, because see, forgiveness is not for the other person. We think it is. But forgiveness is not for the other person. Forgiveness is for you. So if you truly forgive, then you let that thing go. I'm not going to let this affect me the way it's been affecting me. You know, if it's bothering you, then that's on you. But I'm going to forgive you, and I'm going to let it go. It's for you, so that you don't hold on to it and remain bitter. Because when you forgive, then you're supposed to let go of that bitterness. You're supposed to let go of that hurt. You're supposed to let go of that feeling that come with that. So when we forgive, forgiveness is really for us, the individual, so that we don't give that person or that situation power in our life anymore to do the things that it has done to us. And forgiveness is one of the hardest things to do. Especially forgiveness of self. Forgiveness of self is one of the hardest things because we know what's in our heart. We know what's in our mind. Sometimes we blame ourselves. Sometimes guilt because of how we acted. We know when we were ugly and we didn't need to be. And so in all these situations, this spirit of bitterness a lot of times is at the root of it. And we just read you need to let it go, because that spirit by itself will cause you to defile yourself spiritually, emotionally. Let's continue. But sometimes we have to, well, all the times we need to let go of that spirit of bitterness, because it will cause us to do and say some things we ought not do and say. Let's see. Verse 15 again. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of Elohim, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. When we despise, when we don't take serious the word of the Most High, when we don't take this gospel serious, Most High says we despise it and that we become profane, like Esau. Esau, now, and this is something serious, and we need to, I want to dwell on this for a minute so that we hear what Elohim is saying to us. Esau was probably playing around, but he was playing around and didn't take his birthright seriously. Messiah is going to come through your lineage. You are the firstborn. But because you despise your birthright, I allowed Jacob to take it from you, to steal it from you, because he took it serious. Now, when we go into the scriptures, we find out that Esau repented. Esau repented with tears. He went to the Most High boo-hooing, crying, snotting, serious. I'm sorry. And the Most High rejected his apology. Can we hear Elohim? Just because you come back sorry, just because you realize that what you were doing was wrong, don't mean I got to accept your apology. Don't mean I got to take you back. Don't mean I have to fulfill the promise that I promised to you as firstborn or as being saved. Because you didn't take this thing serious. It wasn't important to you, to something you was doing. So let us hear Elohim. Be serious and don't profane his name. Take it seriously. Don't be as Esau and not really be serious about this walk, not be serious about your salvation, not be serious about the promise that the Most High has given you, that you treat it like it's nothing. Because then you might find yourself in a situation where no amount of repentance from you will change the Most High's mind, because you didn't take this thing serious. And this is where a lot of us are at, brothers and sisters. We have to hear Elohim. Don't take this birthright. Don't take this salvation and treat it as nothing. Take it casual. And, you know, I'm good today. Don't do that. Because Yah Elohim, through the scriptures, I'm saying you got to look at how he deals with people. You got to hear him. He's not just telling us these things just to be telling us. It's a serious matter. Don't take it lightly. At least you find yourself seeking true repentance, and Yah says, should have came before. Should have took it serious from the beginning. Nobody wants to find themselves in Esau's position. You come to the knowledge of the truth, realize that you need to turn and give your all? And Yah says, too late. I pray we can hear Yah. This is what Esau did. And Yah just determined that he was profane. Verse 16 again. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And Yah still rejected him. See, Yah is not playing. Can we hear him? Let's continue. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they had that they heard entreated the word should not be spoken to them anymore. What if Yah didn't want you to hear the truth anymore? What if Yah turned you over to a reprobate mind? Because this is what my brothers and sisters don't understand. Yah will turn you over to a reprobate mind and cause you to believe a lie that he might damn you. I'm just in damning you, and yeah, I cause you to do it. A lot of people don't want to hear that. No, Elohim, that's not the Elohim I serve. Maybe you're not serving the true and living Elohim. Maybe you took Elohim for granted way too long, and he turned you over to a reprobate mind, and now you cannot unbelieve what you believe. Hold on a minute. Let me go get a verse, because I don't want y'all to say Brother Miles said this. Because this is one of those areas where you got to believe, either you believe the scriptures or you don't. We'll come back to this. Hold on a minute. Let me find this. I think this is in this book. Go to 2 Thessalonians. The book of 2 Thessalonians. All right, let's go to, we'll start in verse 7. Well, let's start in verse 1, okay? And if y'all forgive me, I'm trying to fight the sun. I'm still in my temporary workspace, and my desk is facing toward the east, but the sun is trying to set, and it's just causing a huge glare, and I can't get rid of it. So 2 Thessalonians, starting in chapter 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of Yeshua HaMashiach, and by the gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called Elohim, or that is worshipped, so that he as Elohim sitteth in the temple of Elohim, showing himself that he is Elohim. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked it be revealed, whom Yah shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now, the ones that are going to perish are them that are unrighteous. So it's telling you that the son, this Antichrist is the example here, but I want you to hear what Yah will do. With all undeceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So when we don't believe the scriptures, when we don't believe what Yah is saying to us, when we can't hear him, then he says that people are going to be deceived because they don't want the truth. They don't really want to hear the truth. So Yah, he lets them be deceived. Let's read this next verse. And for this cause, Elohim shall send them a strong delusion that they should what? Believe a lie, that they might be damned who believe not the truth because but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, I can't remember these other verses, but I will find them because this is not the only place that says this. If you refuse to believe the truth, and if you refuse to walk in the truth, Elohim will cause you to believe a lie. And can't nobody convince you that that lie ain't a lie, that he might damn you. Because you yourself chose, you made the choice not to believe the truth. And we got a lot of brothers and sisters walking around in this condition and don't know it. You can, you listen to them and you listen to their doctrine, but how do you believe that? Where are you getting that from? Now you know where it comes from. Elohim is making them believe that. And Elohim is judging them. And no matter what you say, no matter how you try to teach it, no matter how you try to convince them, you cannot convince them. You can't change their position because Elohim ain't going to allow them to change their position. Now you want to say, does that line up? Who hardened Pharaoh's heart that he might condemn Egypt, that he might judge Egypt? Elohim said, I hardened Pharaoh's heart. Can we hear him? I hardened his heart that he should not let my people go, that I might bring another judgment on them. And at the end, that I might destroy him. Can we hear Elohim, the Elohim that we serve? Can we come out of this pretense that the Elohim that we serve is some type of fool that we're getting over? Because we're not getting over. It is we ourselves that are the fool. Go to the book of Romans real quick. I want to drive this point home and not have you say that, oh, it's Brother Miles. I believe this is chapter 8, Romans chapter 8. Let me make sure this is the chapter we want to be in. Maybe it's not. Just a second. Go to Romans chapter 9. The book of Romans chapter 9. We're going to start in verse 1. I want you to hear Elohim. I want you to hear what he's saying. He's not playing. He's 100% in control. And once Elohim makes a choice for you, it truthfully is out of your hands. Romans chapter 9, starting in verse 1. I say truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself was accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Now, this is a heavy statement here, because what Paul is doing, he's looking at the condition of Israel. Okay? And he's saying, you know, I could wish that I was accursed from Christ for my brethren's sake. Now, let's listen to why he's saying this. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law and the service of Elohim and the promises? Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is forever all, who is over all, Elohim blessed forever, amen. Not as though the word of Elohim has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of Elohim, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Now, we know that the children of the promise are those children that are in Messiah. All right, so we'll make that clear right away. But he's saying, just because you are a Hebrew Israelite doesn't mean that you're a child of the Most High. And this is where, now we're going to look at this. And this is not intended as part of this message for hearing Elohim, but it is part of this reading. Because we're still looking at hearing Elohim, but we got to understand who Elohim is and how he operates so that we can hear him. You don't play games. Okay, verse 9 again. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of Elohim, but the children of the promise are accounted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, remember Jacob and Esau are twins. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of Elohim according to the election might stand, not of work, but of him that calleth. This is all up to the Most High. So before either of these children came out of the womb, the Most High had already determined which one he wanted and which one was going to be the seed of the promise. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written. Now remember, before they were even born, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Wait, you mean the Most High hated somebody? When we are against him, when we are his adversary, he don't have to love you. And if he determines that you are his adversary, you can become hated of him. Not Brother Miles' words. Hear Elohim. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness in Elohim? Elohim forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Sovereign. I'm going to do what I want to do. And I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. You might think that brother right there ain't making it. You might think that sister right there ain't making it according to your standards, according to your standards. But it is really all up to Elohim. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But then ask, is Elohim unrighteous? Elohim forbid. Elohim is not unrighteous. But you know what? You and I were made for his pleasure, not the other way around. You and I were made to fulfill his will, not the other way around. And people get this twisted all the time, like Elohim was made for them. No, we were made for him. And if he declares you to be a reject, can't nobody make you not a reject. If you, and the way, I'm just going to tell you, the way he does this is if you choose to be wicked because you choose to not believe the gospel, not believe the scriptures, not to walk with them in your whole heart, to take it half, you know, to be halfway in it, Elohim might make you a reprobate. Let's continue. So, verse 16. So then it is not up of him that will it, nor of him that run it, but of Elohim that shows mercy. We are to walk upright before Elohim, and we're to walk in the best that we can and the best that we know. But it's still really all up to Elohim. This is why we have to understand who it is that we're serving. I want you to be good. But I have this question, even of myself. Suppose I run this race, and I do the best that I can, and Elohim look at me and say, go to the lake. Do you and I understand that he has the right to do that? Or can we not perceive that? Does it not compute? That's why we want to do everything we can to be in his favor, that he would not look at us and say, you know what? No, I see your heart. I see why you are the way that you are. And I don't want you. I know you're trying to be good. Understand Elohim. Understand the Most High. It is all up to him. But we don't want to give him no reason to say we are reprobate. That's why it has to be what? Authentic. It has to be genuine. You can't fake it. You got to want him because you truly want him. You got to walk in his ways because you truly see that they are the right ways to walk. You can't fool him. Let's continue. Because I told you about Pharaoh, but this is not just Brother Miles saying it. Verse 9, verse 17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore has he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and on whom he will he hardens. Thou wilt say then unto me, why does yet he find fault? Why does he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? No, but O man, who art thou that replies against Elohim? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me this way? Do we see the sovereignty? Can we hear the sovereignty in that? I am Elohim, and I will do what I wish to do. I will harden whom I wish to harden. I will have compassion and mercy on whom I wish to have compassion and mercy on. And if I want to use you to get glory, who are you to question it? Seeing I made you. Can we receive that? Can we hear that? Because, see, once you can receive that, then you understand what your role is. Do what I say do. You want to come up in paradise? Do what I say do. Don't add to, don't take away from. Can we hear him? Because, see, we run around like we in charge. We ain't in charge. If the Most High gave you a mission and gave you a purpose and say, now go and do it, then just go do it. I pray we can hear Elohim. Has not the potter power over the clay and of the same lump to make one vessel of honor and another unto dishonor? Which one of us want to be the toilet brush? Which one of us want to be that vessel of dishonor? Because, see, how do I say this to you? The Most High makes vessels of honor and dishonor. Satan is a vessel of dishonor. Satan is used for what his purpose is. And when the Most High is through using him, guess what happens to him? What do you do with a toilet brush when it wears out? What do you do with a toothbrush when it wears out? What do you do with anything that is, has no value to you but serves a purpose when it wears out? We do not want the Most High to make us his vessels of dishonor. Because what he shows me in the scripture is, when you choose to not believe, when you choose to walk in your own way, when you don't understand who it is that you're serving, and you make up your own Elohim in your own mind. Now, Elohim wouldn't do that. My Elohim, my God, wouldn't do that. I couldn't serve him if he did that. And there's people who say that. Then clearly, they don't know the Elohim of this book, and they don't really understand his position, and they don't understand theirs. They have made themselves equal with Elohim as though they really can. And Elohim says, I'm going to make you equal by giving you my spirit, but you're still going to be in subjection to me. I'm going to make you a Elohim yourself, but you're not going to be an Elohim separate and apart from me, because it's my spirit that I'm putting into you, part of me. And you're not going to be separate and apart from me. You're not going to be a God separate and apart from me. I'm not making another God. I told you that in Isaiah. I'm not going to form another God. But I'm going to put my spirit in you. I'm going to elevate you to my position. But you're still going to be in subjection to me. If you can but believe and come to me with your whole heart. See, we're not in control. And as soon as people come to that understanding and can get out of that, then, you know what? Some of them actually choose, I can't serve him. And they choose the other side. Elohim forbid. But I know people that have done that. Because they just can't imagine that the Elohim, the creator of the heavens and the earth, would be that way. Why would you treat me, a piece of dirt, and place me on your level and have consideration of me? But we got to think about that. We are dirt, literally. For dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return unto. We are dirt. And we want to place ourselves up there on the same level with him who created us. Well, you reading right here, he says, hey, I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And I don't answer to anybody else. Can we hear him? Can we have respect of him for who he is? Because he still loves us. But we got it twisted. We got this thing twisted. And we think we got power and we got authority and we got a say. Let's continue. In verse 23, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. No, no, I skipped something. Let's go back to verse 21. Romans 9, 21. Has not the potter power over the clay, and are the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if Elohim, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he has afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but of the Gentiles. For the Most High has preordained a people, and that he's called them and he's chosen them. I pray to Elohim that is us, and that we were walking in his ways, and that we were preordained before the foundations of the world, that we should be the vessels of mercy, that he's going to have mercy on. All right, amen. Let's continue. As he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living Elohim. Isaiah also cries concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. A handful. I want you to consider this, Israel, my brothers and my sisters. Don't come into the truth and not walk in it. A remnant. You don't do what our forefathers did to the Most High and walk away unpunished. And see, our people think that when it says all of Israel shall be saved, that all means the remnant. The remnant equals the all. And so these brothers running around, not pursuing peace, wanting to fight with everybody, angry, want to get drunk, have Passover in a strip club. I still can't get over that. Do all kind of crazy things and think that the Most High is just because we his people, he just has to take us back. He says, for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's sake, for his name's sake, is he saving the remnant of us. Hear this, hear Elohim, only for his name's sake and because he gave a promise, is he saving a remnant of us that are Israel. Other than that, let's read this. I believe it says it right here. Let's go to verse 27. And let's read. I want you to hear this. Elias also crieth concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will Yah make upon the earth. And Isaiah said before, except the Lord or the Lord of the Sabbath had left us a seed, we'd have been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. So I want you to consider this. Anybody know anybody from Sodom or Gomorrah? Anybody that even claimed to be from Sodom or Gomorrah? A descendant of somebody from Sodom and Gomorrah? You'll never hear nobody say that in the world. He says, unless he had left us a seed, we should have been in Sodom and Gomorrah, not be able to be found in the earth, extinct. Somebody talking about us, but ain't nobody never met one of us. So we want to be counted in that remnant. Can we hear him? And can we not be puffed up? Because we should have been as Sodom and Gomorrah, as a people, because of what our forefathers did. Truth of the matter is, because of what our forefathers did, we shouldn't even be here. So how much more appreciative, how much more fearful, how much more reverence do you think we ought to have toward Yah Elohim? Because he's telling us right here, if we can hear him, we shouldn't be here. But because he gave a word and that the seed of promise was going to come through us, and that he told Jacob and Isaac and Abraham that there's going to be some of their people that make it into the kingdom, he'll tell you in other places, only for his name's sake, because of what our forefathers did. We, if we claim to be Hebrew Israelites, should not even be here. So I thank Yah for his word. I thank him for being faithful to his word and to his promise. He said, I ain't saving y'all. I'm saving a remnant, a remainder. Can we hear him? Can we hear what we have to do? Can we hear that Yah ain't playing, has never been playing? And we, in our ignorance, in our not knowing, and not putting him in his proper place, have not been worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Because we were believing a lie. We were making up an Elohim in our mind, or we were believing in some Elohim somebody taught us about. But it was not the Elohim of this book. Yah is real, and he is not playing. And it's on him. So we better be doing everything we can to be pleasing. And understand that it's still all in his hands. And he has a right to be that way because he is sovereign. He don't answer to nobody or nothing. Everything in this earth was created for his pleasure. If you're a hard-headed child and you don't bring me any pleasure, I ain't putting up with you. Do we think he got to put up with us? He don't. So while he is, and he's giving people a space to repent and come back to him and to walk in his ways, that he don't determine them to be a vessel of dishonor, our people should be running to him if they understood. You ain't supposed to be here. And the fact that you here and talking mess and caught up in your ways and still disobedient? You are clueless. And I believe a lot of our people, I read it in Zechariah, a lot of our people are, we are the flock of the slaughter. So let's read this again, verse 29. For as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of the Sabbath had left us a seed, we'd have been as Sodom and had been like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which follow not after righteousness have obtained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel which followed after the law of righteousness has not obtained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore or why? Because they sought it not by faith, but it was by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. So our forefathers didn't think they needed a savior. We can get in on our own good works. But Yah had already determined that those works were not good enough. And then they turn around and killed Messiah, their own savior. Can we hear Elohim? Because I don't want us being puffed up. We are the people of the book, but we ain't got no reason to be puffed up whatsoever. Ain't supposed to be here. And the fact that we are here, we better be hearing Elohim and doing what he said with our whole heart. Not like Esau, taking it for granted, thinking he got it made until it was took from him. We got our brothers and sisters out there teaching that, oh, we the people of the book. We got an automatic pass. No, you don't. All of y'all are Hebrew. All of y'all are not Hebrew Israelites. Our people don't want to accept that we lost our citizenship. When we got driven away, when y'all cast us out, we were no longer Israel. We were Hebrews, cut off, a people without a nation. And Yah is calling us back and saying, I'm going to let you back into the body if you come correct. And because you are of the bloodline, and because you do follow the statutes, the laws, and the commandments, and because your males are circumcised, then I'm going to let you come in and also claim the Abrahamic covenant. But if you ain't circumcised, male, in your flesh, and in your heart, and female, in your heart, then you have no rights to the land, and you have no rights to the kingdom. Yah will not be mocked. Can we hear him? Or do we want to use the excuse, I'm only human? You use that excuse and end up not where you want to be. What time we got? Let us go back to the book of, I believe we were in Hebrews, chapter 12. We are not walking straight up. We want Yah to chastise us. And it means that he still loves us individually. We want him to correct us. Because he could turn around and say, you know what? You are profane. You are like your brother Esau. Can we hear him in the scriptures? And like your brother Esau, if you go down that road and you can't hear me and you can't commit yourself, if you don't take this serious, then I will reject you like I rejected Esau. because I'm only saving a remnant of you anyway. Can we hear him? I know this is not that message of love and forgiveness and peace and joy. Your joy should be in that you at least got a chance. You could be like some of these other brothers and sisters out there without hope, believing a lie that Yah caused them to believe. And I know you've run into them. No matter what you say, no matter how much truth you try to give to them, they refuse. They can't do it. You got to understand, it ain't up to you. At that point, what y'all had to show me, teach the word, teach the gospel. It ain't up to you, Brother Miles, who get in and who don't. You don't have a heaven or a hell to put them in. Just teach them the truth of this gospel. Tell them about me. I have given you the eyes to see me as I want you to see me, as I want my people to see me, to fear me, to reverence me, to know that I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And if I choose not to have mercy on you, who's going to stop it? Who's going to make me? It's hard for a lot of people to hear. Just know that the Elohim that you serve, that you worship, I pray that you love, that you understand that he ain't weak. He ain't foolish. He ain't playing games. That you consider the cost, that when you come into this thing, you need to be willing to give your all. Because we have but a short time. I don't care how long we live on this earth, whether it's a full 120 years, it's still but a puff of smoke to the Most High. So I pray we can hear Elohim. And that when we do something bad and we get chastised, take it with all joy, because if you don't get chastised, something wrong. Then are you a bastard? You claim to be Elohim, but you ain't his. Because he ain't chastising you. He ain't correcting you. Let's finish this up, at least this portion. Verse 15, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of Elohim, lest any roots of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby being defiled, let go of the bitterness. Because, number one, it's going to make you do things. You serve the Elohim of peace. He is long-suffering, but you know what? He don't play. And he said, don't be bitter. Let that stuff go. I don't care who is against. Let it go. Don't be bitter against them. Seek peace and pursue it. Let's drop down because we've already read all this. Let's go to, let's start in verse 20. Drop down to verse 20. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched a mountain, it shall be stoned and thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Now, this is going back to Exodus chapter 19, when the Most High came down to visit Israel. And he told them to prepare themselves. Be clean for 3 days. Don't come at your wife. And on the third day, don't come at your wives for 3 days. And on the third day, I'm going to come down. I'm going to visit. And when he came down and the trumpet started blowing, it got louder and louder and louder. The people were afraid. They got afraid. No, Moses, You go talk to him. We don't know. We stay over here. You go talk to him. But Moses is telling you he went, but he was also what? Shaking in his boots. Fear and trembling. Couldn't just approach the Most High just any kind of way. And when the Most High called him up there, you know, the way the scriptures read, like he just went. Like, you know, he didn't have no fear or whatever. But we read right here, I exceedingly fear and quake, but you are coming to the Mount Zion and into the city of the living Elohim, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to Elohim, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Yeshua, the mediator of the new covenant, into the blood of sprinkling, that there speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Moses spoke the word to them. And a lot of them did escape in the wilderness. Matter of fact, everybody over 20 years old, 20 years and up, died in the wilderness. He says, now, if they didn't escape judgment from this man on earth, how much more do you think you're going to escape judgment if you don't listen to and obey the one from heaven? The one from heaven is greater. And you got our people fearing Moses and treating Yeshua like he's a nobody. Foolishness. Foolishness. Wrong perception. Wrong understanding. Wrong filter. Filtering the word through their own filter, but not through the word of Yah. Not by the Ruach HaKodesh. Not hearing Elohim. If we cannot hear Messiah, the one from heaven, and he tells us to give our all, to treasure the kingdom of heaven as the most precious thing that we could ever obtain, that there's nothing in our life more precious than it, than him. Just now, how much more you think you're going to escape? How much worse do you think the punishment is going to be? We hear this is a second place, because if we go to the book of Hebrews, I believe it's chapter 10, he tells us that again. For if we willfully sin after we have come into the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more blood for us, but a certain looking forward to of fiery indignation. He's not playing with us, okay? And we need to hear that. We need to know that. We need to walk in that. And we need to be happy to walk in it, because everybody don't know. Everybody don't hear. Everybody's not appointed to hear the truth. Got loved ones that won't hear it. Got friends that won't hear it. You got those that hear it and can't accept it, won't accept it. That is not the Elohim that I serve. I just look at them. because these are not the words of Brother Miles. And why they can't read this and see it for themselves, Brother Miles doesn't know, except for Elohim don't want them to see it. All right, let's finish this up. Verse 25 again. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. We want to be grounded and rooted firmly in Elohim, that we be not shaken, because if we be shaken, we will be what? Removed. Can we hear Elohim? If you are not grounded in him, when he goes to shaking heaven and earth, you're going to be shook loose too. And everything that is shaken loose is gotten rid of. Whether it be us or principalities or powers, everything that is not what he wants. I pray we can hear him. Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve Elohim acceptable with reverence and godly fear. Godly fear. Understand that when you transgress, you have transgressed against Elohim. And when you repent, it's got to be repentance as unto Elohim. That's why most people that come to Elohim, that come to the Most High, and they don't have this type of fear in them, this godly fear, they don't get selected. They don't get filled. Because their focus is not in the right place. Wait a minute, you just sorry. But you ain't got really no fear and no respect of that you broke my statutes, my laws, and my commandments, and that you were in transgressions of my law. It don't even reflect in your mind. You can't comprehend it. You say it, but it don't really register. I have transgressed against Elohim, the Most High, the one that don't answer to nobody, the one that says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I transgress against him, and what if he chooses not to have mercy on me? Because we're being taught that he gotta, if you repent, he gotta forgive you. You read that Esau repented, and with tears. He says, and I rejected him. Having no understanding, serving I don't know who what. I don't know what people think they're serving or who they think they're serving. But it's not him. Because the Elohim they serve, he's got to forgive them. The Elohim I serve says, no, I don't. If you ain't real with me, if you take me for granted, if you don't esteem me, I ain't got to forgive you. I ain't got to even select you. Matter of fact, because you are that way, I will use you like a vessel of dishonor. And you won't even know why you act in that way. But you believe you're right in doing it. And I will cause you to believe that you're right in doing it so that you won't stop doing it. Because you chose not to believe the truth. So I pray, brothers and sisters, verse 29, for our Elohim is a consuming fire. People say it, but they don't really believe it. I pray we can hear Elohim. I pray we hear him and we fear him. Really fear him. Really reverence him. Understand that you can't come to him halfway. You might be able to fool me. I might be able to fool you. Neither one of us can fool him. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, Elohim, Almighty, Majesty among Majesty, the Great I Am, the highest power, Father, we approach you, wanting to be at peace with you, Father, wanting to be right with you, wanting not to be as Sodom and Gomorrah, praying that we are preordained from the foundations of the world, Father. Only you know. Be with us, Father. Strengthen us. Encourage us. Show us. Ties up us if we need it. Let us know that we are your people. Father, we understand. There is only you, and all is in your hands. For real, for real. That we in time past may not have thought about you the way we ought to think about you. May not have considered our salvation the way we ought to have considered our salvation. May not have even thought about the way that we ought to walk. Caught up in the concerns of this world, caught up in the concerns of mankind, caught up with family, with friends, with saints. Father, we just want to be focused on you. Whatever level we need right now, whatever we need, Father, to take us to the next level. In our belief, in our commitment, in our understanding, Father, we pray that you would give it to us. Help thou, whatever it is that we need, whether it's belief, whether it's faith, whether it's commitment, whether it's an understanding, help thou us that we might walk before you. And be pleased in thy sight. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right. I still have, let me see. Probably another 7 or 8 verses to this particular precept. And I don't know if Yah has released us from this or not. I will go before him and sleep. But can we hear him? Can we come out of the mess? Can we come out of the confusion? We serve the great I am. There is no other. And he wants us to be right with him. He wants us to serve him with everything that we have and still understand it's all up to him. We don't want to offer up, like he said, Abel. I meant to say that when he brought up Abel. What did Abel offer up? He offered up a half sacrifice. He didn't give himself wholly in his sacrifice to the Most High. That's why his sacrifice was rejected. And we don't want to give a half of a sacrifice or three quarters of a sacrifice. That is why he says, offer yourself a living sacrifice, acceptable and holy unto Yah, which is your reasonable service. Yah is consistent in everything that he's saying in this book, the filter with which we look at it through. We don't want to offer Abel's sacrifice. And we don't want to offer ourselves as Abel halfway. Yah says, I want you all. I want you whole. I want you 100%. And if you love anything, anybody, anything more than you love me, you are not worthy of me. Dear Elohim, commit yourself. Understand that times, if you we feel it in the spirit, but if you look at this world, things are getting worse. They're not getting better. And man is starting to do things that are going to affect people in the future. And what I mean by that, they're doing things that are going to affect people in a real bad way. We have to be able to meet these things head on or be swept away by them. So I pray that we hear Yah. Pray that we hear that you are in a good place, because you could be someplace else and you could still be walking in ignorance. You could be hearing doctrines of whatever, pleasure, of hatred, of you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed. Yeah, give me this kind of money and Yah will bless you 10 times. And that's the doctrine. We are in the business of kingdom building. We do not want Messiah to return and take what we have and give it to somebody else because we didn't really do anything. We want to receive that well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. To get that, he says, I want you all. We may or may not be through with this. In my spirit, my mind says I want to move on and do some other thing, but my spirit is not really letting me move on. So, we will do as Yah has said. Yeah, we're going to be obedient to the Spirit of the Most High. Father Yah, encamp your angels around your people. Keep us safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Bring us back again at the appointed time. Let your people have fear and reverence of you, as you rightfully deserve. Remember, I love you. As your brother in Christ, I love you. And I don't want to see anybody go to the lake. But it ain't up to me. But Yah loves you more. Shalom, family.
Without you, there's no need. I need a